Well, as we continue our series on prayer this morning, we are looking today specifically at the power of confession, of telling our sins to God. Now, as we begin, I want you to imagine with me that you're in this story, that you've been looking to buy a house for quite some time. You've been looking and you just haven't found anything that is just what you're looking for. And then one day, as you are driving along, you see it. For sale by owner in the yard of a house that you've always greatly admired. And you're in luck. Today, they are having an open house. And so you pull in the driveway. You get out of the car. You go into the house. And you see the owners there. Talking with a couple people that are interested in the home. And you begin looking around, and the inside of the home is even more fabulous than the outside. Incredible wood flooring, great cathedral ceilings, fantastic countertops and cabinets, state-of-the-art entertainment room, and it even has a pool. And you're beginning to think, this might be too good to be true. This will probably be out of my price range. But then you happen to pick up a pamphlet and you see the price that they're asking is exactly right in the range of what you were hoping to pay. Everything seems to be lining up, and you begin to be filled with this excitement. And as you are, you look and you notice that there is another hallway that you haven't went down yet. And the hallway is a little bit more dim, and as you begin making your way down that hallway, you notice that the door at the end of the hallway seems a little more tattered. It doesn't seem to fit with the rest of the house. But your curiosity has got to you, and you want to see, you know, what is in this room. You walk up and you grab the doorknob. It's locked. Why is this door locked? It's an open house. You want to be able to see the whole house. And so you think, maybe it's just stuck a little bit. So you give it a good shake. And as you do that, a key that was sitting on the top of the door frame falls to the ground. You pick it up. You think, well, it's worth a shot. Let's see if it fits. You put it into the doorknob, you turn it, and the door opens. And you can't believe your eyes. You can't believe what you're seeing. This room is disgusting. It is a disaster. Where the rest of the house is just impeccable. It is immaculate, pristine. This room is like chaos. And you look into this room, and before you even step in, the smell gets you. It smells like a combination of wet dog and summer dumpster on a hot day. You're getting the picture. You know, you're not going to see those scents at Yankee Candle. Smells terrible. And so now you're even more curious. You take a step into the room, and as you do, you feel the squish of the carpet. You look up, and you see that the ceiling is leaking in multiple places. As you stepped in, you saw a couple mice scurry away into a hole they dug into the corner wall. You see a couple cockroaches scurry underneath the torn and frayed carpet. And you notice that there are multiple decent-sized cracks on the walls. If that was not enough, you will notice that there are literally bags of garbage piled up in the corner of the room. Well, at least that will explain the summer dumpster smell. But as you take a step forward, surprisingly, a raccoon pops out of the bags of trash, looks at you, and hisses, as if to say, "This is my trash room, get your own." So you, at this point, you're bewildered. You're like, what is going on here? You backpedal, you close the door, you start slowly making your way back to the main gathering area, and the owners gleefully make their way towards you. They come up to you and they say, "How do you like the home? Did you see our new top-of-the-line counters? Our new top-of-the-line cabinets? Our beautiful windows?" And you're still kind of caught off guard by what you just encountered. And you say, "Yes, I saw them. But what's going on with the room at the end of the hallway?" At first, they seem a little bit annoyed, a little bit frustrated. And they say, "Oh, it just needs a little TLC, a little tender, loving care." You look at them and kind of surprised that that was their response. You say, "Yeah, but it's moldy everywhere. There's critters running around. It smells horrible." "Well, the rest of the house is great. The rest of the house, it might need a little repair, but have you seen the Smiths and Joneses house down the street? Those are dumps. Look at this. This house is magnificent." At this point, your tact is beginning to leave you a little bit, and you say, "Really? There were bags of garbage, smelly garbage in the corner, and a raccoon popped out and hissed at me." The owners laugh and say, "Oh, that grumpy old Fred, he loves his trash. You know, you don't want to bother him when he's eating. He does not like to share." You'd be like, "All right, that's it. I've had enough." At that point, you would just shake your head in disbelief. Wonder for a second, am I on a practical joke show? I mean, am I on Practical Jokers? Am I being punked? You know, is someone playing a prank on me? But you would get in your car, you would leave, and you would just walk away. Now, if these things happen to us in real life, we'd be wondering, what just happened? Is this real? Is this real life? The rest of the house was immaculate. It was pristine. It was gorgeous. But then there was this other room that was locked away, almost like ignored, not dealt with, just pretended like it didn't exist. We would see that as absurd. Yet, sometimes we can be like those very own homeowners. You see, confession is so crucial for our faith. Confessing our sins to God, going before Him, laying out our lives fully to God is crucial for our faith journey. But at times we have a tendency to resist that. Yet we are all in need of forgiveness. We are all in need of mercy, of restoration. And yes, there have probably been times in our lives when we prayed, "God, forgive me. I want to follow you. And we made that decision to follow Jesus. But we face that temptation as we continue on our faith to make confession less a part of our spiritual journeys. But it's important for us to go to God, to be open before God with everything in our lives. Now, you heard earlier from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and I want us to look at some of those verses surrounding that passage. They say this: "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, While we are walking in darkness, we lie, and we do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So this passage of Scripture points to us different potholes, different temptations in our faith when it comes to confession. One of the things is we're tempted to continue in our sin, continue walking in darkness, while at the same time saying we're following Jesus. The Scripture also points out that we are tempted to say we have no sin, or even downplay our sin compared to others, or even deny that we have sinned at all. Yet the Scriptures tell us that when we do this, that we're liars, that we deceive ourselves, that the truth is not in us. And so quite often when it comes to confession, it's difficult for us to be open, to share, to be honest with God about everything in our lives, have no closed doors, no hidden keys. And when we think about prayer, some parts of prayer come easier. It's not difficult for us to pray for our lunch, God, ask God to bless it, to pray for maybe a sick relative, to pray for something going on at our workplace, or to maybe pray for a test that we have coming up at school that week. But when we confess, it's very vulnerable. We leave ourselves very open to where the light of God shines in and shines light on all the darkness. And that piercing love of God strikes right at our hearts. And we resist. Yet to pray is to be changed. To be in prayer is to be spiritually formed. I shared this quote last week with our youth on Sunday night. It's from one of my favorite theologians, Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard. And he puts it this way. He says, prayer is a silent surrendering of everything to God. Prayer is a silent surrendering of everything to God. This silent surrendering many times is that thing that we resist. Because it's easier for us to hold on to our ego or our pride or our selfishness. It's easier for us to give God segments of our lives, but not all of ourselves. We face the temptation to sort of follow Jesus, partially give God our lives, or to be a fan of Jesus from the sidelines. Yet, when we look at what the Scriptures tell us, when we look at what Jesus has told us, to follow him, it costs us everything. To be fully open. And to be fully open, confession is essential. To fully surrender ourselves, to deny ourselves, to turn away from the darkness so that Christ may live in us. So that the light of Christ may shine in us and through us. My friends, this is the good news. That because of what Jesus has done, And I know we celebrated Easter Sunday a couple weeks ago, but guys, this is ongoing. Because of what Jesus has done, him laying down his life for us, we do not have to continue in darkness. We do not have to continue holding on to our sins and be weighed down by them. Our scripture that I read for you today tells us that God is the light, and that if we remain in him, we remain in the light. That scripture tells us that if we go to Christ, that he cleanses us of all sin. Not some, not a little bit, not part, but Jesus cleanses us of all sin. The scripture goes on and says that God is faithful and just, and that God will forgive you. Not maybe, not possibly, but we have that promise that God will forgive us, that God will cleanse us of sin. Yet too often, we listen to the voice of the accuser, the Satan, who tells us, you don't need to confess. It's not that big of a deal. Your sins aren't that big of a deal. It won't really cause a problem. It won't really impact your life. Or your sins aren't as bad as so-and-so. I mean, they're a lot farther off than you are. Or we listen to these lies from the accuser. You could never be forgiven. Jesus doesn't love you. He could never love you. Look at you. Look at your life. You're a mess. Your life is a disaster. You're just too far gone. My friends, it is time for us to stop listening to the accuser and start listening to our advocate. We have a great advocate in Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, verse 1 through 2, it told us that we have an advocate with the Father and Jesus who is righteous, that he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. My friends, we have Jesus, our great advocate, who cleanses us of all sin, of all unrighteousness, removes the darkness. But when we confess and we go to Jesus, he not only removes the blot of sin, the darkness, he doesn't just do a removal, he does a restoration. He does a renewal in us. He fills us with his light. He restores us as God's very good creation. We are transformed because of Christ. So my friends, I want to close by asking you to reflect on these questions. Are there sins that you're holding back from God? Are there rooms in your heart and your life that you have a hidden key to? Rooms in your heart and your life that you've kept locked up, you've kept to yourself, and not fully surrender to God? Are there things you need to go to God and confess? But not only are there things that you need to go to God and confess, but also just as important, are you willing to accept the gracious gift of God, the forgiveness of sins? Because, my friends, our God of light, our God of truth, of grace, and love is waiting for you with open arms. He has already forgiven you. You just have to be willing to receive the gift. Will you receive it? Let's pray. God, we come before you now in prayer, acknowledging that at times it's easy for any of us to keep parts of our lives locked up, hidden away, to pretend that everything is okay, but at the same time be struggling or holding on to things that weigh us down. And so, God, we come before you this day, resting in that good news that through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Restore us, renew us, fill us with your light to be your light in the world. Amen.